Hey there, and welcome to the Friday edition of Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek, and I'm so glad to be with you here as we close out the week. Today we're going to be looking at the readings from Daily Mass. And, you know, the message that really hit me, especially in the first reading today, is that, and I think you need to hear this today, the message is that when you pray, the Lord hears you. And as we'll see in the first reading today, not only does He hear you when you pray, but He sees your tears. So you may have been crying tears, you may be distraught over a problem in your life, and I think what you need to know, and this is what the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you today, is that the Lord hears you. And you're going to see proof positive of this when we look at the first reading from today's Mass. So settle down. Settle down. It sounds like you're, yeah, that's what happens when you listen to this program. You become rambunctious. That's not what I meant. So settle in, relax, grab a beverage, grab a snack, pull up a chair at the table. We got some chairs right here, and we're going to sit around and talk about the Lord for the next 30 minutes on Following the Truth. I hope you were able to catch my appearance on Relevant Radio this morning on the Morning Air program. I talked about praising God even when things aren't going right. You know, I really think this is such a key concept for us to embrace. And this is something that I absolutely have to get better at. The idea of praising God no matter what happens, because everything that happens in our lives, He is allowing it to happen to help us. So, you know, one of the comments that, or the examples that John Harper, the host, gave on the program today is when you're stuck in traffic. Can you praise God for being stuck in traffic? Well, there's a benefit to doing so, because when you praise God because you're stuck in traffic, and again, you don't have to feel it. I'll tell you that right now. You don't have to feel it in order to do this. By doing so, you bring His power into your situation. It does not mean that He will necessarily get rid of the traffic jam, and that's the point I made today on the show, but you begin to feel completely different. You become transformed. Now, sometimes you pray and praise Him in the middle of a problem, and the problem will begin to decrease, or it will go away entirely. Sometimes He does that as well. But if you can believe that God always wills your best, and no matter what happens, even if it's unpleasant, even if it involves suffering, no matter what happens, He can somehow bring good out of it. Otherwise, He wouldn't allow it to happen to you. When you talk about bringing good, though, when you talk about God bringing good, you've got to look at the broad picture. To God, good means it can help you grow close to Him and get to heaven. I mean, that's what good should mean for us as well. Because that's the goal of our life, to grow close to God and to make it to heaven so that we can live with Him forever. Therefore, when you look at it that way, you'll see, and I'm sure you've seen this in your life, sometimes suffering draws you closer to Him. My family and I, we've grown closer to the Lord through this coronavirus pandemic. I really wish it would end, but I see some benefits coming from it. You know, but again, you know, I wish the Lord would obliterate it. He could. But there's a reason He's allowing it to happen. And sometimes we cannot figure out God's reasoning. Most of the times we can't figure out why God does what he does. But that's because He's God. And, you know, it only makes sense that we shouldn't be able to figure out everything that He does. But if you learn to praise Him, even during the bad times, you're going to be, at the very least, transformed. Again, the situation might not be different. It might remain the same, but you will undergo a transformation. And the grace that you receive from praising God, even in the storm, is going to change you and therefore make it more bearable. And there are other things that can happen when you're in a traffic jam. There could be benefits. There could be, other than teaching you patience, there could be other benefits. You could learn to appreciate the fact that you have a car. You know, you can't get stuck in traffic without a car. But there are so many different benefits that can be obtained when we learn to praise God, even in the storm. And, you know, it's easy. We talked about this yesterday on the show. It's easy to praise Him when things are going good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I got that job. Praise the Lord, John recovered from his illness. And that's a good thing to do, because many people don't do that. And I've been guilty of forgetting to do that sometimes. I hate to say it. But we want to also praise Him when it rains out. You know, I was telling my wife today that, and look, this is not the way I typically am. I'm learning this. The Holy Spirit's working with me. He's working with me, smoothing out off some of the rough edges. But when it rains out, you can praise God for the rain because it waters the crops. It makes the grass and the trees and the flowers grow, and it makes you appreciate the beautiful sunshine when you have the sunny days. It's hard to appreciate sunshine without having a little rain in there sometimes. But that comes about. It starts out, it's almost a forced process. You go, it's an act of the will. It's an act of will, the will to praise God when you are experiencing suffering or something unpleasant. Very few people are going to automatically, from their deepest insides, want to praise the Lord when it's a miserable, cold, and rainy day. Most people aren't going to start out that way. But over time, given enough time, you may find, or you probably will find, that you'll start to really feel it. And that's what I see happening in my own life. So why don't you start doing that? Praise Him no matter what happens. Praise Him in the good times. Praise Him in the bad times. Praise Him no matter what. Because when He does this, when He allows things to happen in your life, good or bad, He's showing you how much He loves you. And again, that's faith in action. Faith is operating based upon not just what you can see, but beyond what you can see. You know, it certainly doesn't require any faith to acknowledge something that's visible, that can be perceived with the senses. But faith is more than that. So praise Him no matter what, okay? That's my little editorial before we start the program today. And by the way, before I forget, if you need anything over the weekend, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And don't forget, there also is the Gary Zimek Show, which is my weekly podcast in which I talk about the Sunday Mass readings. You can get that from all your traditional podcast outlets. The show originates through the courtesy of Breadbox Media, but you can get it from all of your ordinary podcast outlets, Podbean and Apple and all the different places where you get your podcast, where you probably get this podcast. So if you want to hear a little insight into the Sunday Mass readings, check out the Gary Zimek Show. This week's show is available now. It's available every Friday, and I hope you'll be able to listen to it. All right, time to pray. You ready to go? Let's turn to our Father in heaven. Let's give Him a little praise. You know, when we praise Him, we talk about how great He is. It really is an expression of love. When we praise God, we are expressing our love for Him. You know, just like you praise your wife, just like you praise your children, just like you praise your favorite sports team. Well, we're going to praise our Father in heaven. You know why? Because He is really good. Please join me as we start. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we praise You. We praise You for Your magnificence, for Your power, for the fact that You can be everywhere all at once, for the fact that You created the entire universe, the planets, the stars, the moon, everything out of nothing, and You keep them operating efficiently. You created all of us, Father, out of nothing as well. The complexity involved in just one human body is mind-boggling, but to create billions of people over the years, that is astounding. But You created every one of us out of nothing, and You sustain all life. Father, You can do all things. No purpose of Yours can be thwarted, as Job said. So we acknowledge that, Father. We acknowledge Your power. We also acknowledge Your love. You love us with an unconditional love. Otherwise, we would cease to exist. So the very fact that we are still alive proves, beyond a shadow of a doubt, how much You love us. Father, we praise You for Your ability to love like that. We praise You for Your accomplishments through the years. We praise You for the ability that You have to work in mysterious ways, ways that are far beyond anything we can understand. We praise You for Your infinite knowledge and wisdom. And Father, we thank You. We thank You for bringing us to this day. We thank You for providing for our needs over the years. We thank You, Father, for blessing us to be in a relationship with You. We thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, We thank you. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. And with that in mind, please send us a new and fresh outpouring of your Spirit this day. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come alive in us, to inspire our thoughts, our words, our actions this day. Please, Holy Spirit, speak through me. Use my voice and my lips to proclaim your message. And open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to what you have to say and be willing to go out into the world and put it into practice. Father, we thank you for your providence, your continued providence for our lives. Father, we ask you to bring about peace in the world, bring about unity and the division. We pray for an end to the coronavirus. Even though everywhere we look, it seems bleak, the news just seems bleak, and things seem to be getting worse, Father, we trust you by faith. We trust that you will do what's best. We trust in your ability to wipe out this virus, and we ask you to do so. Father in heaven, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and who is our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thank you for praying with me. And if you're just tuning into the program, welcome. Still a seat here for you. There's always a seat here for you at my table. I'm Gary Zimek, and this is Following the Truth. We do this program every Monday through Friday, and the show is available for download, and make sure you let your friends know that you can get this at all of your traditional podcast sources. If you are a new listener to the program, and it's possible you heard me on Relevant Radio this morning and you are a new listener to the show, I want to welcome you. I want to remind you or let you know that I do a daily email devotional. It's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. I send it out once a day. You can sign up for that by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. All you need to do is supply your email address, and you will get your little message from Gary with a Bible verse, with a reflection. It's very simple, very succinct, and you'll get that once each day. I am not going to spam you. I use those email addresses to send out those daily emails. You can always unsubscribe. Feel free to do that if you would like at any point. But I do this to hope, to give you a little hope, because I don't want your heart to be troubled. God doesn't want your heart to be troubled too. So I try to be his messenger and deliver to you a message that's going to give you some hope every day. So you can just go to followingthetruth.com to be able to sign up for that message. In today's email, the verse that I used came from the first reading from today's Daily Mass, and I want to talk about this. This is part of the story of King Hezekiah when he was mortally ill. He was sick. He was dying. He prayed, and he ended up being healed. And look, I want to send this out to you today, especially if you're struggling, especially if you got some sort of an affliction, maybe a medical diagnosis that you're struggling with. It's not looking good. I want you to know that God hears you. I want you to know that God sees your tears. When you cry, that's another prayer. So your groans, your tears, your shouts, these are all prayers that the Lord hears. Don't worry about getting the words exactly right when you pray, because you'll hear that in the gospel from today's Mass. You don't just want to make sure you have your I's dotted and your T's crossed. I'm praying this novena, and I am saying every word exactly the way it should be said. Yeah, that's fine. Novenas are a good thing. Repeated prayer, it's fine. It's good. But you have to mean the words. You know, we can get a little legalistic sometimes. And Jesus has a message for those of us, and I say those of us because I can do it too, that can be a little legalistic. Well, I said everything the way I should, right? You ever do that? I said the prayer exactly. Why isn't this happening? And, you know, we start to get a little demanding. Our relationship with the Lord should not be a matter of just fulfilling the requirements of the law. Yeah, there are laws. Yes, he wants us to obey. But it should be done out of love for him. When we start to mess up, you know, that's not good. And that's when he'll sometimes correct us a little bit. Anyway, Let me do these readings, and then we'll talk more about them. The first reading comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah. It begins in chapter 38 in verse 1. When Hezekiah was mortally ill, the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, came and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, put your house in order, for you are about to die, you shall not recover." Now, imagine getting that message, and one of the things, we talk about this on the program sometimes, one of the things that a prophet will do is he is the go-between between the Lord and the people. Prophets were used to speak on behalf of God to the people. Now, this is before Jesus Christ was born. There was a need for somebody to be the messenger of the Lord, because the Lord was somewhat distant. At least, he wasn't as... I mean, he was always there, he was always involved, but there was some sort of a barrier between him and the people in terms of the revelation. He revealed himself gradually over the years. So at this point in time, prior to the birth of Christ, he revealed himself through the prophets. So his word generally came through prophets. But Isaiah is telling Hezekiah, the king, that he's about to die, he will not recover. And again, when you hear a message like that, you're going to react in any number of different ways. Let's look at what happens. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. Now note, he didn't lash out. He didn't yell at Isaiah. He didn't deny what was being said. He took action by doing the best thing possible. He prayed. And here's what he said. "O Lord, remember how faithfully and wholeheartedly I conducted myself in your presence, doing what was pleasing to you." I find this interesting. He is reminding the Lord of what he has done, how faithful he was. Now, not that God needs this. God knows what we do. But that's really, that is a very honest plea. It's a very honest prayer. It's from the heart. I mean, that's a good way to pray. And I recommend you do the same thing. Be honest with the Lord. You know, this is a dialogue. The Lord doesn't need to know your resume, all your accomplishments, all the things you did for him, but it's a way of really pouring out your heart. We could tell that because we're then told that Hezekiah wept bitterly. He was sad. He didn't want to die. He was really begging for his life. And then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. "Go tell Hezekiah." So the Lord is speaking through Isaiah. "Thus says the Lord, the God of your father David." Now listen to this part. This is what I really like. "I have heard your prayer and seen your tears." Did you catch that? "I have heard your prayer and seen your tears." This is the word of the Lord to Hezekiah. "I've heard you, Hezekiah. I've heard what you said." And this is what he says to you today. "I've heard your prayers. I have seen your tears." So, look, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is the inspired word of God. This is not somebody's opinion. You can take it to the bank that the Lord is hearing your prayers. Now, what does he say next to Hezekiah? "I will heal you. In 3 days you shall go up to the Lord's temple. I will add 15 years to your life. I will rescue you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will be a shield to this city." So he's giving the king some good news. "I'm going to give you 15 more years. Then, Isaiah then ordered a poultice of figs to be taken and applied to the boil that he might recover. Then Hezekiah asked, "What is the sign that I shall go up to the temple of the Lord?" And Isaiah answered, "This will be the sign for you from the Lord that he will do what he has promised. See, I will make the shadow cast by the sun on the stairway to the terrace of Ahaz go back the 10 steps it has advanced." So the sun came back the 10 steps it had advanced. God always speaks to us. If we ask him what we should do, he is always going to give us some indication. If he's got a plan for us, if he's got something he wants us to do, there's always going to be something. If we are open to it, if we're asking for it, he will give us the go-ahead. He'll give us some kind of a sign. Oftentimes it's so subtle that we can miss it. But if you seek to do God's will, know that he will give you some sort of a sign. And again, it might be a simple one. You can ask him, "Lord, I'm not that bright." You know, that's how I pray. "You've got to hit me over the head with a sledgehammer, Lord. Please make it obvious to me." And you will be surprised what he will do. So this is King Hezekiah wanting to do God's will, grateful for the fact that he was healed. But the main reason I read this story to you, this account, you know, when I say story, it's not a fable. This is an actual historical event. The reason I wanted to read it to you was actually twofold. One, to let you know God hears you. He sees your sorrow. He sees your tears. And also, we see an example here of heartfelt prayer, praying from the heart, not somebody who is going through the motions. And that is critical that we learn to do that. The response to Osama, I might as well read this too. You saved my life, O Lord, I shall not die. You know, he's acknowledging what the Lord did for him. That's a good thing as well. Once I said, in the noontime of life, I must depart. To the gates of the netherworld I shall be consigned for the rest of my years. I said, I shall see the Lord no more in the land of the living. No longer shall I behold my fellow men among those who dwell in the world. My dwelling, like a shepherd's tent, is struck down and borne away from me. You have folded up my life like a weaver who severs the last thread. Those live whom the Lord protects. Yours is the life of my spirit. You have given me health and life. This is somebody who's grateful for his health, for the gift of his life. You know, nothing makes you appreciate what you have more than when you get it taken away. Amen? You get it taken away, and then you get it restored, and you are really grateful. Well, look at Hezekiah. He thought he was dying, and the Lord gave him some more time. And now he is really grateful. Learn to be grateful for what you have. We're living through some tough times. We've lost some of our freedom, our privileges. We've lost that. But are you grateful for what you do have? My family and I were having this discussion today. Boy, it's easy to get into the habit of complaining. But this gets back to that praise thing. Praise him for everything. Praise him for the fact you're alive. Praise him that he's in your life. Praise him that he's all powerful. You know, you can praise and thank God for anything. Even your suffering. You do not have to feel it. You really don't. But learn to do it. It will benefit you tremendously. Let's look at the gospel now because I want to make sure I get this in. It's a good one. Matthew 12, verses 1 through 8. Jesus was going through a field of grain on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "See, your disciples are doing what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry, how he went into the house of God and ate the bread of offering, which neither he nor his companions, but only the priests could lawfully eat? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbaths the priests serving in the temple violate the Sabbath and are innocent? I say to you, something greater than the temple is here. If you knew what this meant, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned these innocent men. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." You know, this is a great gospel. You got to be careful with it, but it's a great gospel. In no way is Jesus saying that we should disregard the teachings of the church that he founded. He's not saying that. What he's saying is this. He needs to be the center of your life. Jesus Christ needs to be, number one, the center of your life. You need to have a personal relationship with him. And that personal relationship should lead you to his church and all of the practices and praying your prayers in a reverent way. Because if you do that without, if you pray your prayers, you might be super reverent. You might fold your hands in exactly the right way. You might pronounce the words perfectly. But if you're not doing that, if you're not praying those prayers out of love for God, you're missing the mark. And that's what we saw with Hezekiah's prayer. You know, he was rattling off what he did for the Lord, but he was weeping. He wept bitterly because he was sad and he was pouring out pure emotion. He was begging for his life. When you pray, it should come from the heart. And love of God should lead you to pray in a reverent way, praying the words without daydreaming and being distracted. But it's got to come from inside. Jesus was very hard on the religious people of the day. The holier than thou folks. He was hard on them. because he was saying they are like hypocrites. They are going through the motions. Have a good relationship with God. Learn to love him by hanging out with him. That's what will happen. You will fall in love with him. And do everything you do for love of God. But make sure you have that personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And make sure you don't fall victim to thinking, well, I'm going through the, I'm a good Catholic, I'm a good Christian, because I go to church, I follow the rules, I read my Bible, I do this. You know, it's got to be more than that. Those things are important, but they have to be done for the right reason. So that's what today's all about. And again, as I said at the start of the program, don't get hung up if you don't have the right words when you pray. Pray from your heart. Be honest. Be open. Tell the Lord what's on your mind. Tell him what's bothering you. Tell him you're struggling. That's what Hezekiah did. But also make sure you spend some time praising him, just praising him, bragging on him, telling him how great he is. Not that he needs to know it. He knows that. But you need to know it. And if you start to forget that, your prayers are going to be weakened, and pretty soon you're going to stop praying because you'll forget you're praying to the God of the universe. And once you forget that, then you're going to care less and less about spending time with him. But don't do that. Focus on him every day. Make sure you pray with him. And look, hang out with me every day. We'll get through this together. That's why I'm here. I'm here to remind you of these things. You know, it's an absolute pleasure when you and I get to spend time on the program. And I'm really grateful to have you as a listener. If you would be so kind as to consider, I'm looking at the numbers there. The donations are definitely down. And I could really use a little help to keeping this program on the air, keeping my ministry going strong, or surviving, I should say, especially with all speaking off the table. I would greatly appreciate if you would consider donating to Following the Truth. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you can donate securely through PayPal, either becoming a monthly sponsor or by making a one-time donation. If you would do that today and not put it off, I would really appreciate it. Could you consider that? Thank you so much. God bless you. I hope you have a fantastic weekend, and I look forward, God willing, to being back with you here Monday on Following the Truth.